we are back. So we are going to talk about series six of New Who, of Doctor Who. We are talking about the last three episodes in the series, The God Complex, Closing Time, and The Wedding of River Song. So in The God Complex, this is the one where they're in the hotel, and you don't... It's one of those kind of like...
It's a standalone episode that doesn't really advance the story any.
Well, you're more afraid of something that you can't see than actually getting to see a monster kind of thing.
It does go from his, you know, big lie to his now his big failure.
Mm-hmm.
So we have two episodes in a row where he's shown in not a very good light.
Right. He calls himself, he says to Amy, thank you Wikipedia, that he is not a hero, but quote, just a madman with a box to break her faith in him, because he's trying to convince her, that they need to leave.
Yeah.
Because he can't just, you know, evict them from the TARDIS, which I think he could do. I think
he's done it before.
Yeah, he could just say, you know, you out. It's not like in for some reason, I guess when there were other Time Lords to hold each other accountable and they would actually be assigned people to watch them, like Romana, she was like spying on him. And she knew more about the TARDIS than he did. Well, there was a manual, and he's like, that old thing? I don't know what that is.
His first companion was his granddaughter, Susan. And when she comes to the crossroads where she has her loyalty to her grandfather, and she feels that he needs someone, he needs her, but she's also fallen in love with somebody, what does the doctor do? He takes off and leaves her there with the guy. He makes the decision for her. He doesn't let her make her own choice. He chooses for her. So he's done it before. He's just taken off and left people.
Right.
And he could do that again.
A comment on this episode, but for some reason, the one thing
maybe
that...
he thinks he'll need them again.
Right. Maybe he knows it.
Yes.
I am pretty convinced, and I've been convinced for a while, that the doctor totally snooped at River's
book.
Book. Because the first time he meets her, when he's still David Tennant in the Silence in the Library.
Yeah.
The episode after that, there's one, Silence in the Library, and then there's, I don't remember what the one after that's called.
There you go. He just kept the diary and swapped out the innards with Russell T. Davies.
Right. When River essentially, like, meets her kind of end, her kind of really sad ending, and when you go back and watch that and you realize that's what happens to River, it's so sad.
But
then you see, yeah, exactly. How's the doctor going
to? If he needs to, they will.
But you see her book and her sonic screwdriver just sitting on the ledge,
right?
And he leaves it alone with Donna for like a minute, and you're going, oh, well, of course he grabs that. Of course he grabs that. And he does have, he grabs the screwdriver. But you know, I mean, I always felt like Donna grabbed that book, or he grabbed that book, or somebody grabbed that book and looked at it, because who could resist that?
Well,
the doctor...
what about when Amy got married and she got the book as a wedding present?
Oh, that's true, too.
That was actually... I always complained about that episode for one reason. One, I always thought he was going to take the screwdriver, set the book on fire, and then shove it off as kind of a Viking funeral for the book. He didn't. He left it there, but how many mechanical villains does he know? The Cybermen could go on that planet and be immune to whatever those things, the Vashta Narada.
Yeah.
The Daleks have a case and they have a force field now. They could go there and collect.
And they could have all had a kindness.
Yes. So, and it's not like they couldn't have just sent down a mechanical creature anyway to collect the book. He just left it there on this stupid planet that any of his villains just about could get a hold of.
But then the book that River gave to Amy was an earlier version.
Right.
And going in opposite directions.
Right. And that's why I always thought that the book, the oldest version of the book, was with number 10.
Was in the library. Yes, that's the oldest version.
And I am convinced he took that and he has read it and he knows all that stuff. Because because he's gonna, he has to know all this. That's why he's so competent. He's so clever.
There you go. So basically what he did is I still say he just left the cover there, because that's
what
they call the cover.
He is totally
He stole
cheating.
The insides and replaced it with one-third of Moby Dick, because who would notice anyway? Or War and Peace.
War and Peace.
So yeah, nobody on...
People study Moby Dick. Trust me. I just took a class from the Moby Dick scholar at NKU. It was... Gosh, he's a fantastic teacher. He was a great professor. I'm... Yeah, he was awesome. Anyway...
Which is going to be really fun when somebody goes there to steal the Doctor's secrets and they find out that he's shoved all this weird stuff. They're like, what is it? And they lift it up and there's a centerfold.
It's an A to Z.
They've been in
London
the
A to Z. Remember that?
They've been in the basement of what was it? Oh, the magazine store I was in.
Soho.
Yes. Yeah.
But remember the little book that you had, the little book, the London A to Z.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that would have shoved in there nicely.
So yeah, so the God Complex, the hotel. It's been compared to The Shining, which makes sense.
Because they both have a hotel in common. There we go.
Right. Well, and it was creepy, and they had the long corridor shots. You didn't have the halls of blood and the creepy little girls.
This has to be a comment on the episode. That or a comment on me. But the one thing I took out of this episode is, what the hell was up with the fish? They made this point, I'm going to get the fish. I'm going to take the fish. He eats the fish, and the fish is gone from the story forever. And I cried.
Maybe it's like the guy with the cheese in that
you
one
cried
episode
about,
of Buffy.
You cried about Amy, the girl who waited, and I cried about the fish, damn it.
You would. Really. So long, Ryan, and thanks for all the fish.
Oh, the fish. And they didn't even have any pudding to go with it.
The fish sticks. Fish sticks and custard.
I'm a poor old boy.
Yes, the cutting. Custard.
So after this episode, then you have another kind of standalone, and it's a revisit to the Doctor goes back and visits Craig,
But now he doesn't have Amy.
It's the rematch.
Right.
Nobody
knows. Yeah. Amy and Rory have been dropped off home, and their lives are just completely set, and they've got everything they could ever want.
And Rory's got his car.
Yeah, Rory's got his car. They've got their nice flat, and everything is right with the world. They've got the TARDIS blue door, and
At some point, Rory's going to decide, there's a seventh gear on my car, and then he finds out it goes travels through time. And that's going to be Russell Davies.
When he reaches a certain speed.
The episode of with Arthur Darvill on Top Gear. He's got the car from Doctor Who.
Really?
No, I just made that up.
Oh.
I don't believe anything I say.
No, I know.
See, that would be perfect. Then because they don't have Sarah Jane anymore. Now they can have the adventures of Rory in his car.
So closing time was written by, the Doctor's on his own again, and he seems sad and lonely. And it's written by Gareth Roberts, who wrote the other episode starring James Corden. And James Corden is kind of a chubby blonde guy, and he wrote this show. I'm trying to think what it's. Oh, it's called Gavin and Stacey.
Yes,
it's boring and dumb and stupid.
Stupid,
and
it is.
It's bad. But I think I watched the first series of it, and then I was like, well, I'm not watching the rest of that, and I wanted to know what happened, so I think I read the episode synopsis on Wikipedia. I'm like, yeah, I'm not watching the rest of that, but now I know what happened. So when the Doctor visits Craig, Craig and Sophie have had a baby.
Who will grow up to be the next Hitler.
Right, the baby. And the Doctor speaks baby, so he knows that the baby calls himself Stormageddon. Destroyer of All or something like that? Which is funny. It was a really kind of funny episode, which I appreciated that. When you have kind of a letdown, then you want your comedy episode to go after that.
And the baby knows mum, and everybody else is not mum.
Which seems pretty accurate for baby. Moment, not mom. And then Craig, of course, is completely stereotypical, inept dad who has no idea which way is up on a diaper. And
and yet he spends like the first 5 minutes of the show convincing Sophie that, I can take care of the baby. There's no problem.
Right.
I'm totally capable. Right. And then as soon as she's gone, it's like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
Which
of course like feeds into the stereotype of the inept dad and all that, and the house is a mess, and he's just completely out of his element. And then so the Doctor shows up, and they're Cybermen for some reason. I don't know why, but it's like which monster should we have?
This
Craig
mall
face?
Has everything.
Yes, exactly.
That these Cybermen crashed on Earth, I guess. Buku years ago.
Didn't they still have a ship in orbit or something?
They seemed like the Cybermen.
No, they didn't have it. He thought they had a ship in orbit, but they were actually in the ground.
Oh, God,
there's
left
another
from the cyberpunk episode.
There was another episode where the which doctor was it? I think it was
Well,
it was Peter Davison, where there were those Cybermen that were in these tunnels, and
yeah, maybe those.
So these are like some of them were left over from there from that episode, and it's years and years later, and they're maybe just woke up because they do go into like a hyper sleep or something where they cover themselves in plastic and
power down. Yeah, that was the episode that brought back Telos and had weird little ice people living on Telos.
Well, there was the one with where Tegan at the end where she quits. Yeah, she quits. That's when Tegan
left the show. Which is ironic because Lytton was a Dalek clone.
Anyway, these Cybermen have been stuck here on Earth a long time. They're the old Cybermen. They're not the
He's removed the Cybus logo.
They're not the Cybus industry ones. Yeah, they're the old ones.
He removed the stupid stylish C.
Right.
So they won't get sued from the other universe.
These are the original Cybermen. These are the ones from our universe.
Right. Supposedly. Okay. I don't know. They still use the same voice and everything else from the Cybus.
Well, it reminded me of everything about like the Maul and the Cybermen. It reminded me of the episode Rose, where she's working at the Maul.
Yeah.
And there's, it looked so much like, I'm like, this same damn place.
It probably was.
Freaking Cardiff. It's the same set, everything.
Yeah.
It's the only mall in Wales.
I also like when they're at the mall, of course, all of the people think that the Doctor and Craig are together. They're a couple.
With a baby.
With a baby.
It's so cute.
Yeah, and that's really cool. And then he sees Amy and Rory, and she's appearing in an ad for a perfume called Petrichor, and that was one of my favorite things about, Petrichor was the word that means the smell of dust after rain that Neil Gaiman, that was very Neil Gaiman. Mm. That part was like the psychic password in The Doctor's Wife. I don't remember the rest of it, but it was like,
don't worry, it'll turn out to be hideously ironic, like it's the fat babies all over again.
And then of course she refers to the tagline for the perfume is the girl who's tired of waiting. And so you see them, and they seem to be doing really well, and for some reason, I don't know why anybody would...
But Rory's still following her around like a puppy.
Well, yeah, and I'm like...
She was carrying the bags,
like,
and...
Rory, shouldn't you be off being a nurse or be wearing scrubs?
You should
something?
Be a doctor by now.
I know.
Because he did want to be a doctor, but...
Exactly, you know?
Yes, and that's why the sad
But,
part
you know, he's... But they've got everything they could want. Why would they need to do... you would need to, because you'd get bored.
And now you know why it's going to be sad when she comes back, because he's going to take a look at the Petrichor and go, huh, that's carcinogenic. Mm-hmm. And that'll be the end.
Yeah.
No, not but funny.
I don't know.
I like the adipose.
Oh, and then you see the perfume, the tagline implied the episode takes place after the God Complex, but this conflicts with the date on Craig's newspaper, which is 19 April 2011, which is 3 days before the Doctor's death at Lake Silencio. I thought, was it April that the Doctor? April? I thought the big date that they were worried about was June 26, 2010. That was the one in Pandorica that said, silence will fall.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the date of, I don't know. Timey-wimey, datey-waity.
Well, the closing
this is
time...
This is why, and this is why Buffy the Vampire Slayer has three birthdays, for God's sake. You know? Can't keep anything straight.
Well, and it's like...
You don't expect them to know things about science and reality and physics, or... It's just writing, damn it. You can break your way out of that paper bag.
Oh, it's like the Doctor, what, he has 13 lives. He has his original life, and he has 12...
Yes.
Regenerations,
and
then I saw, I was watching a Sarah Jane the other day, and he said, they said, how many lives can you have? 507. But then
pissed.
The Doctor lies.
Right.
So
I was like, he should have 13. How long is the damn BBC going to milk this cash cow?
507 years, evidently.
Evidently.
They'll do whatever they need to.
Well, that was written by Russell T. Davies. He always swore that there wasn't a set number that the Doctor could go on.
Right. And I saw that.
But they've always been that, from when he had the meta crisis, the half regeneration, people wanted to use up a life. Now they're asking, did he gain Rivers' extra lives?
Right.
It's just going to go on. They're going to find something to do.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't think it's going to be the past. Whatever it is going to be a special episode with the new reason within that episode.
Right.
It's not
going to
be
that. It's not going to be something,
I'm not going to say, oh, by the way, I had extra lives all along. Ha ha.
Yeah.
I used that special contra code, up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start. 30 lives.
Exactly.
Well, you know, all this season... six, if you want to call it that, of New Who, and all the season that's coming up is going to be leading up to 2013.
Right, the 50-year anniversary. Of course it is.
All these little things scattered through.
We were debating in my class of whether Matt Smith's going to be around for that. And I'm like, yes, he's going to be around.
Oh, yeah,
for
it's going to be so big.
It's going to be about Matt Smith is going to be all about the 50th anniversary. Of course, yeah, they've been talking about him, and they're like, I don't know, maybe he'll be out. And I'm like, no, this isn't his last season. And then Matt Smith, I was going to say it before, but we were kind of running long on time. So he and Karen Gillan had won awards. I forget what it was for. National.
Sort of like their Emmys or something.
Something for acting. Yeah. Something fancy for actors. And he was interviewed afterwards, I think, and he said that he always knew his path was going to be different from Karen and Arthur's, that they were going to, you know, he was going to have a new companion. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, yeah, that's good Doctor Who storytelling, I feel. Mm-hmm. That you have companions, and it keeps it more exciting when you have these interchanging parts.
Right.
That, yes, you're going to keep things the same for fan wank.
And the anniversary is going to be such a big deal, he would be stupid to drop out before that.
Right.
I mean, he could regenerate at the end.
That would be something like Eccleston would have done.
But don't drop out.
No, not before.
No,
right. And I mean, I really think he should have the 50th anniversary thing. That could be his finale.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And I think that could be his last episode, and then they move on to the next. And that would be cool. That would be really cool.
Yeah, because then they'd be starting fresh again.
Exactly. And that brings us to after the Cybermen attack Craig, and he dies, but he doesn't die because he is a good dad or whatever.
They're trying to cyberize him.
Right, they're trying to cyberize him, and he...
How did they fit his head? I was wondering about that too.
They shrunk it.
And you were talking before about the toys and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
For this episode, they brought back the Cybermats. The cute little...
Oh, yeah, no.
They're going to be selling Cybermats everywhere.
Yeah. And then, he saves Craig and then drops Craig back off at home, and he's...
Well, Craig essentially saves himself. It's
his love for his child. And that's what I said, because he's a good dad, and the doctor has shown him that, you know what, if you stop thinking, I can't do this, and this is impossible, and you actually just hunger down and do it, then yes, you can.
Yeah.
Which is a really important lesson to learn, I think, for anyone.
And the most important thing you can do, this was in Night Terrors, too, love your child.
Right.
That's the most important thing. You don't have to be great at sports.
Right.
You don't have to make a lot of money. You don't, and that's not the perfect dad. The perfect dad loves his child.
Right. He doesn't have to keep the house clean. But then the doctor, even in his last,
that was horrible.
It's like his last day before he heads off to
his fate.
At Lake Silencio.
Yeah.
So then we get to the Wedding of River Song, which is another mess of an episode.
Oh God, the War of the Roses enters its second year. Oh God.
Yeah.
War of the Roses, they threw that out.
Everybody, you got the Tesselecta, you got the Silence.
But not Samurai. I thought she might, but didn't.
Yeah.
You've got part of a Dalek, because I think they're obligated to have the Daleks.
Oh, they mentioned the Brigadier in this episode. River Song, Madame Kavorian's the one with the eye patch.
Right.
You get to see everyone wearing the eye patch, and you're like, oh my gosh, what happened? Rory and Amy don't know each other, except Amy remembers something, and she's like, oh, he tells them, why don't you go out for texting and scones? She's like, wow, you really haven't dated. and then, of course, they do... They do the thing that they do where they have a phrase like silence will fall, silence will fall, and in this one, of course, it's silence will fall when the question is asked. What's the question? And then Doctor Who, the blue guy who is nothing but a head now in a tomb, but he gets great Wi-Fi down there,
evidently,
which is hilarious. And then somehow, what do you think about the question being hidden in plain sight and all that?
Yes. They spent all this time taking, pumping him down, showing him as fallible again after the whole God clap if you believe in the Doctor, like Dr. Dobby from the Russell T. Davies series. And now they finally made the entire universe pivot on the question of his name. Right. If they, how the hell are they going to make that one plot relevant? I have no idea. So yeah, that was a little bit much, I thought. I mean, it could have been any question. It could have been anything like that. I mean, I remember... But they had that stupid...
Well, that's the foreshadowing for the next season.
Remember he brought in that demon thing trapped in a black hole or whatever at the...
Oh,
at
yeah.
The exit of a black hole.
Yeah.
It was from a language so old,
even the TARDIS couldn't translate it. Yeah.
So there's things older than him, but no, the universe still pivots on the question of his name. And there better be it.
Well, if he is the last of the Time Lords, I guess that does have a significance.
You know what's going to happen, and you're going to go, yes, it's going to be Doctor Who, it's going to be Dr. Rory. So when Rory becomes a doctor, that's when the universe collapses. Damn it, Rory!
Well, then the silence, I thought this was annoying. The silence call Rory, the man who dies and dies again, and then she's not going to save him.
Evidently, they've been watching the show.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, well... How do they know that? And then they call Amy, the girl who waited, I think. And it's like, how do they know that?
Well, maybe they were there and we just didn't see. Or we saw them and then we looked
there,
away.
They've been there all along. And,
yes.
And I don't know.
Also the fact that they got the iDrive and they didn't bother to, you know, look at the software to find out that there was a whole death portion of it. Or that the damn thing was able to give enough shock to kill a person. Right. You think that would have been a big clue. The battery in this is exceedingly large.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, and then Amy has the whole thing where she knows that she killed, I keep wanting to call her Madame Kevorkian. She kills...
Close
enough. Yeah, Kevorkian. She remembers that there is a timeline where she killed her. And that she's kind of glad because she took her baby away from her.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows it didn't really happen, but she remembers that it happened. And that's really kind of upsetting to be able to...
And then you never
but then
saw
she's
that woman again,
remembered so. Things before that happened and then didn't happen. And
right. And
I mean, she's had to live with these kind of things all of her life. She's a very...
contradictory person.
Yes.
And then there's certain parts where, like, this is, for me, like, you really didn't feel like Amy was, other than being able to remember stuff, was all that special. But now you're like, wait, she's really smart. Like, she invented... Like, when in The Girl Who Waited, she invented, a sonic probe.
I wonder why. Multiple settings.
So you're going back to The Curse of the Fatal Death?
Yes. By the way, I have that one, too.
There was one thing I liked about this episode, and that was that... when they had the impossible astronaut, the one that
robot's not Rory, it's the probe.
Sorry, Ryan, we're being filthy over here. You were saying the impossible astronaut. Well,
there was always a problem with the Doctor's age, and for whatever reason, he was burning through his lives within 3 years. It used to be like Tom Baker was the Doctor between he's like 500 years old in
the beginning
to 700 years old. But this was the first Doctor where he's had 200 years.
Yes.
That are unaccounted for, which could be future episodes or audios or who knows what they could be.
Mm-hmm.
And then they killed him in the Impossible Astronaut. Like, they finally brought some mystery back into him and then dumped it. But then you come back to this and you find out that the 1,100-year-old Doctor lived. And, of course, there was also another huge reason. Nine, Eccleston was 900 years old, despite the fact that the Doctor was already well older than 900 years old to his own. I think Sylvester McCoy's Doctor was already pushing 1,000. They kind of screw that up. But the reason why they made him 900 years old is because Eccleston was the ninth Doctor.
Right.
The reason why Matt Smith is 1,100 years old, is because he's the 11th Doctor.
Oh, that's stupid.
So, I know when you think about it. Well, there was something...
But the Doctor...
What was that?
Lies.
Here, this will make sense to idiots. Let's do this.
Thank you very much.
No, I'm not calling you an idiot, Ryan, but I'm glad you pointed that out. I didn't
The
know
Doctor
that.
Lies, so he's going to lie right. about his age.
Of course he's going to lie about his age.
I lie about my age.
He does some...
You're 39, Mom. you're only 6 years older than me. How's that work?
He does weird things like
Timey
that.
Timey-wimey.
Does anyone remember which doors in the God Complex, which door was Amy's and which one was the doctor's.
Oh, no, but they all had numbers in
there. There was a little blurb, like a Children in Need special, where they had both Amy's. He said, hand me a coupler number, like 9-11 or whatever it was, and it happened to be the same numbers that correspond to their doors. So he makes weird connections like that that really don't mean anything.
Right.
But I think in
that
case,
for them to mean things. If you're going to make it meaningful.
I think there was a reason for that, though. There was, his door was, oh God, I have to look it up. Here we go.
Click to the internet.
The doctor's room was number 11, referencing the fact that he's the 11th.
Right, yeah.
What was Amy's door, though? There was a reason that her door was that number, though, so I don't remember. And I do like that Rory's was just a fire exit.
Yeah, that's because they didn't want him, because he didn't believe in anything. He had stopped believing in the doctor by then. But you think he would have believed in his love for Amy, especially after what they had been through.
Right.
I mean, he had a 2,000-year wait, and she had, how many years did she wait?
It still bugs me, though.
And they still loved each other.
Yeah. But then again, I don't know. I had issues with the God complex, which is why I didn't talk much during it. I think that they brought back... He wasn't the Naimon, but he was the cousin to the Naimon.
Yeah.
But the Naimon themselves were vaguely interesting because they were technologically capable of making black holes.
You kind of wonder if they didn't have an old Naimon head hanging around the studio.
No, they
dragged it out.
Trust me, you remember the Naimon.
I know.
They had those stupid little plastic horns.
Yes, it was pretty bad.
Yeah. So it was actually a neat-looking creature, but he didn't really do much besides gurgle and
die. And they had some interesting characters in that. I really liked the nurse. She would have been an interesting companion.
And then he killed her.
But they killed her off.
Yeah. Well, I had problems with
and
that.
And
she would have been, like,
she was Muslim too,
yeah.
which would have been the first time they would have had someone of that faith traveling with the doctor. And that could have been interesting.
Yeah. But there were always problems with that episode. For instance,
I hated they killed her.
If you remember the doctor, one of the things that bugged me about the God complex, which they never really, really, really got back to, was. Just what did it come from? Where was it? Why? It was insinuated itself as a god on a planet, and then when people discovered the toothbrush, they discovered the internal combustion engine, then they discovered atheism, and then they kicked God out.
Yeah.
So, but why do you trap a monster in a maze? Because you can't kill it or to make it useful. But this one, the way to kill it was just not defeat it, but the maze they put it in kept feeding it.
Innocent people.
So what was the point?
It was going around the universe picking up innocent people
and
killing them.
Disproportionately humans, but that was...
Well, it happened to be in the part of the...
No, it happened to be because they were cheap.
Humans were...
Well, we are.
Well, it did pick up one alien.
It's the little rodent guy.
Yeah.
We can finish up on The Wedding of River Song. That's our last episode that we want to talk about. We want to talk about... So, what happens now? I mean, he...
cheats at the last moment, which is so doctor.
You know, she shoots him, but she... It's not really him, it's the Tesseract.
Yeah.
And then what?
And what's going to happen next?
What happens next? What happens with River? I mean, Rory and Amy...
He has a Narnia adventure with a bunch of freaky trees.
Yeah, well, there's the Christmas special, which
yes,
we don't
I
really
know.
Need to
but that's,
see
that's
that
a standalone. That's
I know.
But, I mean,
that could
the only thing that's relevant in that, really, to where the story's going to go next series, I think, is the last little bit where he goes to Christmas dinner. This doctor who says he doesn't do family, you know, he doesn't...
Oh, he's... Yeah,
you know,
he's,
but they're his in-laws now.
But he's been doing that forever.
He always says that, but he dies.
Eccleston. I don't do domestic. And then...
Yeah.
Technically, she's married to the...
Rose brings along her mother
now,
and her boyfriend and her
father.
So
there you go. She can always
exactly.
just get out the sun. Yes, you can always just
Donna,
adjust.
Then the whole Dr.
Donna
thing. Donna and the grandfather.
And her mother. And they keep getting dragged into these things.
So all we know is that Matt Smith's going to be around for a while. But Amy and Rory are going to leave in a heartbreaking manner. And
he has to get a new companion.
Right, there'll be a new companion, which we have heard.
Storm again.
They haven't been there.
That would be nice.
Spoilers at bay.
Oh God, that would be even better. He has to run around with his companion with a little baby stroller and a diaper bag.
Well, can always pick him up in the future.
That would be interesting if he picked up Stormageddon in the future. That would be really kind of interesting.
Turns out Stormageddon snuck into the TARDIS all along.
And having a male companion would be interesting too, because you haven't really seen. There's always been a always been a female.
Yeah,
he's had a bad spot of luck. What was it, Adam?
Adric.
No, I'm talking about Adam.
Adam.
The problem with his forehead.
Yeah, yeah, with that guy. With Rose. Yeah, yeah.
Turdlow.
Jack.
I know.
No.
Yes, but Jack didn't. He didn't quite count as the fully. He went everywhere.
When they first had.
Every which way.
Back in the olden days.
Back in the days of yore.
Yes, the doctor was older.
Right.
And when they had a male companion, it was usually a younger actor. And he was there to do the adventure,
physical things
that the older doctor didn't or couldn't do.
That's why he had Harry Sullivan for a while, because they didn't know they were going to use Tom Baker.
Also, notice.
They wanted an older doctor.
The doctor gets younger.
Yes.
And that's, yeah. That seems to be deliberate as far as I can tell.
I hope he doesn't get any younger than me.
I know. I was thinking that too. I'm like, they need to keep him. Like, it's where they at least had some acting experience under their belt. If he gets any younger, it's going to be like, not so much Daniel Radcliffe. Well, he was pretty bad, but he wasn't as bad as the kid who played Ron Weasley. Like, when.
Oh, and poor Hermione, who acts with her eyebrows and those.
Yes. Oh my God. It was terrible. And I'm like,
couldn't they tape those things down or something?
Like, and the guy who directed it was like the guy who directed Home Alone, I think. And
Chris Columbus, yeah.
Yeah, it was just awful.
There was something, though. I mean, I was watching one of the earlier episodes. It was the Invasion of Time.
Okay.
When the Sontarans invade Gallifrey. And,
right.
They're exiling Time Lords to the surface of Gallifrey. Kind of a dump. It's a rock quarry because that's all they have for alien planets.
Yes.
Anyway, no, there's
all of Doctor Who.
They have a really old Time Lord that they're exiling, and he says, "I'd move a little faster to my exile, but when you get time, you get to your 10th regeneration, you know, you get a little slow." And I always thought those were funny because the Doctor, even though he's the 11th, it is his 10th regeneration, and he keeps getting younger.
Right.
He's gotten to the point where he's had his midlife crisis and he keeps getting the newer model.
You know, something that I was thinking of from watching older ones is that it would be really nice to see a companion be not from Earth. I know one of the core reasons that they do that is for...
So you can see through their eyes.
Right, and so you can kind of be like, oh, that could be me. So you can help put yourself in their shoes, and you can think, oh, what would I do on my adventures with the
Doctor?
That's
why they had Adric.
He used to do that,
as a companion, so that young people could identify with him. Sexually, I guess, especially young males or something. But
they would use
he was such
human
a
looking
bad
human.
Actor.
They killed him.
Oh my God!
And a heavy drinker.
People hated him.
I don't remember. I just remember that was the mid late 80s, and that. Or maybe even the early 90s, that we were watching that on PBS.
And
Adam, we used to call I have a brother named Adam. We used to call him Adric all the time. We'd tease him.
Well, Ryan and Kevin got really upset when they killed off Adric. And I made up that story about how he survived.
Yes, well, I'm not going to.
You
I'm
lied
to
your
to.
Children, Mom?
I'm
yes,
not going
I
to
made
say
up
that
a story
I remember
for
that.
Them.
No, it was more like the way he died. You know, he's like, it wasn't that he died failing. I'll never know if I was right. His one skill was math, and he failed at the end and then crashed into the world and killed all the dinosaurs. You bastard.
Mm-hmm. He butterfly affected everything. Damn that, Adric. So I think we're good. And maybe we'll be back for next season. I don't know. We'll see.